opportunity to preach, and it's a blessing, and it's helpful to be in a position to have this opportunity, because going off to Bible college, most of y'all know, and so be prepared a little bit, so it's helpful. But tonight, I just want to do like a short study on pride. And we're going to start off in Psalms chapter 10, if y'all want to start there. And I'm sure we're all familiar with pride. Pride is it's abundant in this world today. We have a whole month dedicated to pride. I mean, you have people that are prideful. And it's just all over the place today. I'm sure we all have that one coworker or that one person we work with that everything they say is always right. They always got to throw in their opinion, you know, because their opinion matters at some point in time. And I get it, you know, it's their opinion. Everyone's entitled to it. Sometimes can't be wrong, okay? But I'm sure we've had to deal with that at some point in time. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have been prideful at one point in time. I am quite sure of it. I don't doubt it. I struggle with it. And so it's, like I said, it's all over the world today. And I think it's good that we just talk about it. So not that we don't know what pride is, but just the definition of pride, so we know what it is. The definition of pride, it's a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, of those with whom one is closely associated, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. So you can think of, I don't know who, but specifically anyone by name, but you can probably think of a few people that would probably say, you know, like, well, I'm really good. I'm the best at this because of this quality. I don't know what quality it might be. I'm good at this because I can run faster than you. I'm good at this because I know what I'm doing and you don't. And I'm sure we know that person. I'm sure I don't know anyone by name, but maybe it's just qualities. Maybe it's possessions. Well, I've met someone. I've met multiple people who are just like, oh my gosh, look at my new car. I got this great new car, and you don't have that car. And so, it could be, like I said, possessions, achievements, something someone has achieved. They gotten, I don't know, a prize for or something like that. Or just someone you're closely related to. I don't know. But, that's the definition of pride. So tonight, I just want to look at three things. The products of pride, the consequences of having pride, and how do we avoid it. So we're going to start off in Psalms chapter 10. But let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to us. Thankful that you got everyone up here safely, Lord. I pray you give us a safe trip back home. And all those that are traveling, Lord, pray that you keep them safe while they're out on the road. For those that are sick, I pray that you touch them and heal them up, Lord. Pray that you give me the words you want me to say, and that this study would just be a blessing, and keep everyone safe throughout the rest of this day, and give us a good night's rest whenever we go back home. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Psalms chapter 10, so products of pride. So, Psalms chapter 10, verse 2 says this, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor." So I just want to look at that little phrase, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor." So one product of pride is persecution. I'm sure we've met that person, Bethany. She's laughing already. She knows exactly who I'm talking about. But I'm sure we've met that person either at work or, I don't know, could be a family member, and they have nothing good to say to you. You are always belittled by this person, or someone else is belittled by this person, and they can't say anything good to anybody. Everything someone does is wrong. Everything someone says is incorrect and out of place. Everything is just wrong. But when they say it, it is perfect. It's just, woo, number one. Got it. And it's, so Bethany might know where I'm going with this one. So one of my coworkers, I won't name her name, but she tends to think that, I mean, she knows everything. And so, and it's dangerous because in that, she can't talk anything good to anybody. She says nothing good to anybody. Everything someone does is wrong. It's always someone else's fault. It's always someone else's problem. It's never her own issue. She can't just deal with the issue. And so she decides to just persecute other people, belittle them, and not, I mean, just say, instead be like, hey, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, okay, I'll help you. And so instead she just decides to pound into them and beat into them, and nothing good comes from it. She can't say anything good whatsoever. Nothing against women, okay? Please don't take that personally. And but anyways, so persecution. Go over to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. And I do apologize for, we are going to jump around a little bit. I apologize for that. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says this, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. How many of us have met the person, when they walk into a room, you're already arguing? We've all met that person. I'm sure every single one of us have met that person. Sam and I, we struggle with this a lot, okay? but it's true. It's true because their opinion is always right. Your opinion is always wrong. But their opinion is right. And don't get me wrong, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but you have to understand, sometimes your opinion is wrong. Not all the time are you right. Okay? So, the person is filled with pride. I mean, they just bring like this contentious, they have like this contentious, I don't know, like environment surrounding them. So as soon as they walk in the building or something, it's like, oh my gosh, this person is here. Okay, everybody just be ready to argue, you know, can't do. I'm sure we've all met this person. And so it's sad, but it happens. I mean, and like I said, this person is always right. Their opinion is always right. And, you know, you have to run your idea past them too, because they always have a better idea on top of that. And then before you go talk to the person that you're really looking to talk to. And so, but most of the time, we just have to understand, not all the time do we have good advice. Not all the time do we have good advice. We can have bad advice sometimes, okay? That's not a good thing, okay? But it happens. And then there are times where we have great advice. So those are just two products of pride. Let's look at some consequences of having pride. Go to Obadiah chapter 1. Obadiah chapter 1. There's only one chapter, so. Obadiah chapter 1, if you're wondering where it's at, just before Jonah. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3 says this, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? So the consequences of having pride, it deceives you. It brings you out of this of reality, and you create like your own little bubble of reality, and it's dangerous. So you deceive yourself, and you end up just telling yourself the exact opposite of what is true. So, trying to think of an example, I can't come up with one off the top of my head. But you just lie to yourself. Because you think you are always the person to go to. Or you think you're always number one for the job. Not all the time is everyone fit for a job. Not all the time are your opinions right. Not all the time are you going to be right. Not all the time. We're not always going to be right. I know I keep repeating myself. I'm sorry. But we're not always going to be right. So you bring yourself out of the real world and put yourself in your own little bubble, and you create this own little, you know, imaginary world in your head, and it's not good. In Psalms chapter 10, verse 4, it says, we were just there, but you don't have to turn there. It says, the wicked through his pride of his countenance will not seek God. God is not in all his thoughts. What does this mean? Through pride, you end up rejecting God. And so it says, through the pride of his countenance will not seek God. This person will think that they have no need for God whatsoever. They can outdo what God has already done. They think they have the best way, but they don't. And God, in this person's life, God will not be a priority in their life at all. You won't find this person in church. You won't find this person reading their Bible. You won't find this person praying. You won't find this person humble in the sight of God at all. You won't. And so, like I said, you think you're just too good for what, an example, someone might think they're just too good for what Christ has already done for us. And they think they can go without Christ's sacrifice. Well, unfortunately, we can't. Unfortunately, we cannot go without Christ's sacrifice. It's why he came to die. We can't go without a sacrifice. And so if you think you can go without a sacrifice, I hate to break it to you. It's not going to go down a good road for you. You're not going to go down the bright side. Oh, you're going to go down the dark, dreary, and painful side instead. Okay? Another one. We're all familiar with this verse. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Have any of us ever tried to be friends with someone who is like all about themselves? I'm sure we all try to avoid that. But like at one point in our life, have you ever at least maybe met somebody who like it was all about them? Or let me put it this way. You met this person, right? And you didn't know, you know, they were prideful and they just were like that. And then you got to know them and it was all about them. You know how hard it is trying to make a friendship with someone like that? Renee. But you know how hard it is trying to make a friendship with someone like that? It doesn't go well. You really can't get anywhere because at the end of the day, it's all about them and it's never about, hey, let me help you instead. It's all about them. It's all about me, me, me. It's the me monster. It's the me monster. There's a whole comedy on that one. But anyways, it's all about them. And it ends up, it's so hard, but it ends up destroying their life. because soon they can't make friends because it's all about them. And on top of that, they're always fighting. They're contentious. They can't work because what they do is always right. What everyone else does is always wrong. And you are always wrong and I am always right. They can't work. Probably can't be married. I mean, I haven't been married yet, but been married to a very prideful person, man or woman, either or, it doesn't work. Because at the end of the day, from what I know about marriage, you have to help each other out. So hopefully I'm learning something so far. But and it's hard, and it ends up just destroying their life. I'll give you a biblical example. Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2. If you find Jonah, and then Nahum, Habakkuk, and then Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 8, we'll start in verse 8, says this, I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. So we talked about Moab in Sunday school a little bit, not very much, but we were talking about Ruth. In general, we're going over the book of Ruth in Sunday school, and if you don't know a lot about Ruth, she was in Moab. Moab was set on, I think, is the eastern border of the Dead Sea and the Assyrian desert, right? And so, or Arabian desert, sorry, and it's kind of set like on a plateau. If you don't know what a plateau is, it's just something, it's kind of like a hill or a mountain-ish, but that's what a plateau is. And so, remember, if you were in Sunday school, remember Naomi and her sons went to Moab because of the famine, right, that was in the Promised Land. So you can probably just picture this Moab set up on a plateau, right, against this ocean and or sea, probably very fruitful and abundance of fruit and trees and shade and just a beautiful place to live. And the people of Moab started thinking, well, you know, I got all this stuff. This is what we got here. That nobody can touch us. And soon they find out that isn't the case. And it ends up getting destroyed. If you look in verse 9, it says, surely Moab shall be as Sodom. Anyone remember what happened in Genesis to Sodom and Gomorrah? It's not even, you can't find it on a map anymore. It is basically destroyed. To ash. It's gone. And so, and that's what Zephaniah says here, that Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah. And so, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it's good to, you know, have good things. I mean, we all want good things, but when you start saying, well, when you start getting that prideful spirit about stuff, then it's not good, right? So, destruction. So what have we gone over so far? Well, we talked about the products of pride brings contention, right? It brings persecution. We've gone over the consequences of pride, and it brings destruction, and you end up rejecting God, and you deceive yourself. So, after all that bad stuff, how do we avoid it? How do we avoid it? Very simple. Go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we'll start in verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little one, child unto him, or a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So how do we avoid pride? Humble yourself. Instead of saying it's all about me, instead of saying I am the best person you can go to for this advice, instead of saying, well, look at what I have, instead of saying those things, humble yourself. Instead of making it about you, make it about someone else. In Proverbs, I can't remember where it's at, but I think it's either in Psalms or Proverbs. It says, and I'll paraphrase it a little bit, but it says to not, how does it word it? No, I just forgot it. But it says, it goes along the lines of don't, I wouldn't say talk about yourself, but don't. Someone help me out here. No. Don't boast. There you go, Megan. Don't like boast about yourself. Let others boast about you instead. And I butchered that. Absolutely. I'm sorry. But instead of you talking about yourself, let someone else talk about you, and you can talk about that other person. Humble yourself. So what is humble? What is the definition of humble? What does humble mean? It says, having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. We are not as important as we think we are, okay? I hate to break it to you, but we really aren't important as we think we are sometimes, okay? I know, like I said, you're all entitled to your own opinion. We are all entitled to our own opinion. But at the end of the day, we all have to understand our opinion isn't always going to be right. Okay? It's not all about you. Okay? So instead, think of yourself. Jesus said it, verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. So don't think you're way up here on, you know, the bar. I mean, we're all way down here. We're all way down here. Nobody has reached, you know, 100. Okay? None of us have. So don't, I mean, I know we like to think we have, but don't think we have, okay? Because none of us have. And so, it's important that, we don't just start saying, well, I have this, and I have this, and you're just terrible at this, and I'm better at this. It's just like, look, if you're better at it, help the person who needs help instead. A lot of people, Bethany's saying yes, a lot of people at where I work, it's just like, they have nothing good to say to this person, and I'm just like, well, help them out instead if you have such great advice. You know, if you are number one, if you're top tier here, Help them out. So, I know I went through that quick, and I'm sorry, but if you want to go into a deeper study of pride and about it, and a great character to look at is Nebuchadnezzar. If you don't know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon at one point, and you can find this in Daniel chapter 4, what I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. And I'll turn there, but you don't have to. But it's in Daniel chapter 4. And Nebuchadnezzar was given pretty much everything he wanted. And then he started to let his pride get a hold of him. And so what happened to him, it's in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. It says this, "The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Nebuchadnezzar let his pride get a hold of him. And for that, he ended up pretty much turning into an animal. And so, it's good to have things. Like I said, it's good to have things, okay? Don't think it's not good to have anything and just, you know, not have anything. Don't do that. It's good to have stuff, but as soon as you start saying it's about you or you got this because, you know, it's all about you. No. Listen, the Lord blesses us, okay? He blesses us. Don't take that blessing and say it's about you or you got it for yourself. You didn't get it yourself. And so, I'll close it out with this. C.S. Lewis said this. Says, "For pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense." So, like I said, pride, I mean, it just eats away at you. It just eats away at you. And as C.S. Lewis says, it eats up the very possibility of love. It's not because it's not about this other person. It's all about you. It eats up the very possibility of contentment. You're never happy with what you have. You think you need more. You're never satisfied with what you have because you think it's all about you. Or even common sense. Like we looked at, it takes you out of a reality, of the true reality, and you put yourself in your own fake little bubble. And that's what happens. So, I hope it was helpful. I know it was quick. I'm sorry, but we all get to go home early. We can take out naps. So, but let's go ahead and pray, and we'll go ahead and head out of here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for